Welcome to The Lorraine Murphy Show. I'm an entrepreneur on my second business, a mentor, an author, wife to a fellow entrepreneur, and mother to a magical little girl. On my podcast, I explore topics that fascinate me that will help you unlock ideas to rise even higher in your life. Myself and my special guests will be talking entrepreneurship and how to build better businesses, organization and figuring out how to get more shit done quicker and smarter, staying in touch with our soul, and how to blend business babies with real babies. Let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Lorraine Murphy Show. It is lovely to have you with me. So as you may know, if you've already listened to a few episodes of this season is all about LM life lessons, the greatest lessons I've learned and continue to learn, and the lessons I share most with my mentees, event attendees, and online program participants. I cannot overestimate the importance of this week's topic, which is self-knowledge. As I explain in this episode, it underpins everything we do, experience, and create in our lives. In this episode, I share why self-knowledge is so critical to our life experience, how self-knowledge is a practice and not a final outcome, the quote I lean on for support in my self-awareness endeavors, which are not always easy, the three greatest tools I have discovered to help me build my self-knowledge, the profiling techniques that I've used extensively in my work, but also for my personal relationships, and a 101 on DISC behavior profiling and how it has helped my professional and personal relationships. So I am so excited to jump into this episode with you. As I said, this is one of the most, I feel like all the LM life lessons are important. I think this is one of the most foundational ones. So let's jump in to this week's episode. So let's kick off this episode with a quick check-in on why the whole idea of self-knowledge is actually so important. So in my opinion, I've got three main reasons that it's important for us to not just focus on, but actively invest in our own self-knowledge. And the first reason is that essentially when we can work on our own self-knowledge and know ourselves better, it gives us a user manual to ourselves. So if we're not clued up on ourselves and we're out there, you know, motoring through the world like we all do day to day, we're pretty much moving through it with no map. Whereas when we can actually understand ourselves and start to really cultivate some deep self-awareness, it means that we've got a really solid foundation on which to base all of the other figuring out that we need to do about the world. And God knows there's enough to figure out in the world. So what I'm saying, just to summarize that point, is when we understand ourselves and we've got strong self-knowledge, it means that essentially what we've got is a solid foundation on which to base all of our other learning. Because if we're trying to figure ourselves out from scratch and figure everything else going on around us, whether that's career, partners, other relationships, friends, kids, spirituality, health challenges, if we're trying to figure all that out at the same time as also trying to figure out ourselves, then that's a really challenging place to be. The second reason that I believe self-knowledge is so important and actively investing in our own self-knowledge is that the path to happiness is progress. So I love the Tony Robbins quote that I heard a few years ago, and he said, happiness equals progress. So when we feel like we're progressing, then we feel happy. But if we're progressing and if we are moving through our lives, not knowing whether things, if we're ourselves are getting better or we're getting worse, then that doesn't actually clue us up on how much progress we're making. And therefore, then we're blocking our own ability to actually be happy and be contented. So when we actually know who we are and almost like what the base we're starting from is, it means then that we can essentially track our progress in a more effective way. The third reason that I think knowing ourselves is so very important is that it enables us to grow more rapidly and achieve our goals quicker. Because when we know ourselves, like anything, if you know how your vacuum cleaner works, or you know how your computer works, or you know how your car works, it means that you can actually get in there and make little tweaks to optimize all of those things' performance, which means that first of all, they're going to last longer, they're going to get from A to B quicker, and they're going to do their job in a more effective way. So if I was to think about that, I guess the key reasons that I think self-knowledge, why it's so important and why I wanted to dedicate an entire week of the show to this topic.
Now, guys, before we jump into the three biggest tools that I have leaned on to understand myself better, I do need to be so clear that the whole idea of self-knowledge and going on a journey of self-knowledge, it's a practice. There is no podcast episode, not even Oprah or Tony and the two of them combined, could create a podcast episode that would immediately fast-track you to 100% self-knowledge. So the whole idea of self-knowledge, it's like yoga. It's a practice. You show up on your mat, you do the work, and you get off your mat and you come back again and hope that you're going to be slightly better the next day. And if you're worse, then you just get back on the mat, do the same thing, and come back the next day again. So please remember, when I'm talking about this episode, I'm not saying that I personally am sitting in a place where I've got full self-knowledge or self-awareness. I am 100% a work in progress, as I believe is every single person. And if we think about it, that's kind of the goal of life, is to go about our lives and just try and understand ourselves that bit better day in, day out, which means that we can then understand the people around us better and we can understand our lives and what we're doing and what we're trying to create, and whether that's purpose or it's goals or whatever, it's all built on that basis and that baseline of self-knowledge. So this episode is not going to deliver you at the gates of 100% self-knowledge or self-awareness. I can easily give you a money-back guarantee on that fact. However, what it is about is what are the things that we can do to, it just started raining outside. I don't know if you can hear that rain as I'm recording. It's beautiful. So when we think about the whole idea of self-knowledge and that practice of self-knowledge, it's about trying to figure ourselves out, getting the feedback from ourselves, from others, trying to implement it again, failing, trying again, making some gains and keeping going on that. So I absolutely love the Maya Angelou quote, "When we know better, we do better." And this is the premise that this whole episode is built on. It's about sharing some tools with you that have helped me to know myself better, and the tools that I've used with my team and many of my mentees as well, in order for us to do just that little bit better. So I'm going to jump straight in and I guess just again to preframe slightly with these tools. These are the kind of hard and fast tools that I have used that have been super, super helpful for me. They have given me an enormous fast track on myself and the user manual to myself. And as I said, I've also used them with many of teams, mentees, potential employees. I've used them on my family. I've used them on even our nanny when we were hiring a nanny when we lived on the Gold Coast. So these are the different tools that I've used. So as I said, not one of these is going to deliver you at the gates of pure self-knowledge. However, they will hopefully start to get you on a path. If you haven't used any of those tools yet, I'm so excited for you, because it's really setting you on a path to some really fascinating tools. And guys, this is the thing as well. This work is fascinating. You know, it's not grind. It's not difficult. I mean, some of it is going to be difficult, but it's not scary. It's such an incredible opportunity that we have living in the society that we're living in. You know, if you're listening to this podcast episode, you are in one of the very, very small percent of incredibly privileged people in the world. So the fact that we do have these tools and this capacity to be able to learn more about ourselves and help others learn more about themselves as well, I think it's an incredible blessing that we do have. So jumping into the tools. So the first, and I think probably I would say the most pivotal thing that I have learned and what has helped me most in my experience of gaining more self-knowledge about myself is to figure out whether or not I'm an introvert or an extrovert. And I went through a phase of being absolutely obsessed with the difference between introverts and extroverts a few years ago. And I do just want to be very clear on this. I think there's a myth going around, and has been for a number of years, that introverts are, they're very quiet, they're very shy, they don't really have any social skills, they are quite weak, I would say, that they're almost afraid of their own shadows, and that you could spot, if you saw an introvert on the street or in a crowded room, you would be able to spot them, like you would know who that person was. And on the other side of the coin, then, I think there's a myth that the extroverts are the noisy ones. They're the ones that always command the attention in a gathering. They are noisy, they're outgoing, they're really confident. You know, all of these things are the things that we kind of assume are attached to an extrovert. And a book I read a few years ago, I think I read this book about 5 years ago, and There are a handful of books that I have read and that have, once I put that book down, having read it, that it was like they just gave me such an incredible fast track to understanding myself better. And this book that I'm talking about is Quiet by Susan Cain. And I think she actually did a TED Talk first and the book came out of the TED Talk, as is the case with a hell of a lot of very, very popular books. So Susan Cain is an introvert and she wrote a whole book about the idea of introversion and obviously counterbalancing that against extroversion. And what I learned in Susan's book is that introverts gain energy from being by themselves and extroverts gain energy by being with others. So there is nothing in there about their social skills, their noisiness level, their noise level. There's nothing in there about their confidence. The simple simplicity of introverts versus extroverts. Introverts, if you're an introvert, you will charge up almost like a lizard in the sun, or if you plug your rechargeable batteries into the charger thing on the wall, you are going to charge up on your own. However, if you're an extrovert, you're going to charge up in the company of others. That's almost like your power bank is when you're with other people. So that is it. It is so very simple. And I always, until I read Susan's book, I would say I had quite a negative attachment to the idea of being an introvert. And I think I probably did suspect that I was an introvert myself. And I thought that if you're an introvert, you're shy, you're awkward, you're not successful because you just have your nose in a book the whole time. And really, it couldn't be further from the truth. And I'm basing this on the friends that I have, the incredibly successful, inverted commas, outgoing friends that I have. And when I get to know them, I discover that actually, like me, they are introverts. So guys, I need to be really clear here. I'm not saying that introverts are better than extroverts. I'm not saying that extroverts are better than introverts. There is no one way that is better than the other way. And indeed, some people are ambiverts, where they can actually occupy either end of the spectrum and they're quite comfortable on either end of the spectrum for set periods of time. But what I do want to touch on is that, as I mentioned, it is the most singularly most important piece of information that I have understood about myself that has just changed my world on so many levels. But also releasing the idea that if you are someone that likes to be by themselves, that you're not shy, you're not awkward. I mean, obviously you can be all of those things as well, but they're not mutually exclusive. You can be an introvert and be confident, and you can be an extrovert and actually be quite quiet in a crowd. So that understood. The reason this has changed my world so much is that I figured out how I get my energy. And I really do think if we can figure out what gives us energy and what saps our energy, we are 90% of the way there when it comes to our self-knowledge, because energy is everything. Energy is what gets us through our days. It's what motivates us to achieve our goals. It's what keeps us healthy. Energy to, you know, pursue and enjoy the relationships that we have in our lives. So when we can figure out what our energy source is in our life, and obviously there can be multiple ones, whether you're an introvert or extrovert is just one element of this, I really do think that it's an absolute fundamental game changer. So for me, and why I say that it did change my life, is that, as I said, I understood where I got my energy. So, and also I was kinder to myself. Because what I would find is that we would go to, and actually perfect example, when I read Susan Cain's book, Quiet, it was over the Christmas break, and myself and Wade we were up in Port Macquarie with visiting his parents and his family. And Wade is an only child. So when we are with his parents, they just want to soak him up and soak me up and now soak Lexi up since she arrived as well. And I find it very intense because I've got a younger sister who I interviewed on the last season of the podcast, Jenny, and I'm just used to being able to kind of find my own space in our family. It's not like all the focus is on me or all the focus is on Jenny. It's a bit more diluted. And I guess when you, in your family of origin, you all kind of have a bit of an unwritten understanding of how the other one operates. So I can find it very, very intense when we're doing the in-law visits. And also, you know, it's Christmas, there's friends to see, there's shopping to do, it can feel like I'm just with people 24/7, and I can get very, very stressed with that. So when I read the Susan Cain book, something that she recommended in it was the power of restorative niches. And what she means by that is you don't need a whole day to recharge on your own, unless obviously you've been going very, very hard and you've been in a highly extroverted state. a situation. But what she talks about is that sometimes it can just be 10 or 15 minutes to sit in a room, be by yourself. You don't have to nap, you don't have to read, you don't have to do anything, but just some time just to kind of ferment in your own juices before you then kind of propel yourself back into the people. So I practiced the restorative niches over that Christmas break, and I would just go up to myself in Wade's room and just sit there for 15 minutes, flick through a book, send some messages, whatever I was doing, and then I would re-enter the kind of the family group. And I couldn't believe the power of those recharges. It was just incredible. The other area that it has really helped is in my relationship with Wade, because I am married to a raging extrovert. With our relationship, you've essentially got a raging extrovert and you've got a raging introvert. And when it comes to planning our weekends, when it comes to planning holidays, I mean, not all the time, but I'm actually very happy to kind of just have him and I or do my own thing for a lot of that time, particularly because some of my work is very, very people orientated. If I'm out speaking, if I'm mentoring, if I'm running online, like online mentoring sessions, like it's very, very people-y, and that can be quite draining. So what myself and Wade have realized, it's given us a really good understanding of each other's needs in our relationship and with our time. So we can balance things that, for example, the weekend just gone, I did a meditation course. So I did an hour and a half session in the morning, an hour and a half session in the evening over Saturday and Sunday. And Saturday evening was perfect because I was doing the meditation program, which was pretty low energy required in terms of interacting with other people, because much of it was just listening to our amazing teacher and also practicing the meditation. So while I was doing that on Saturday afternoon, Lexi was having a sleepover, and Wade went over to our friend's house, sat by the fire pit, had a couple of beers, and was happy out just talking absolute smack with one of his best friends. So that is the perfect balance for us, because I get the recharge from being on my own and he gets the recharge from being with other people. The other way that it has changed how I operate in my business especially is that I've learned that if I'm doing things like a three-day retreat, I'm hosting the three-day retreat, or if I've got three speaking gigs in one particular week, I know now that I need to plan in solo time on the other side of that, essentially to recharge and come back into myself. So there are three ways that understanding whether I'm an introvert, I'm hands up introvert, raging card-carrying introvert, but it has made me understand how I need to manage my energy. So I would really recommend to you, I mean, you listening, given that you're drawn to a podcast like mine, chances are you already know, or you've got a pretty good idea of whether or not you're an introvert or an extrovert already. If you are curious to explore it some more, I would highly recommend the book, the Susan Cain book about quiet. And the other thing as well, I just really want to encourage you to understand, might be a bit gentler, is the whole idea that, you know, extroverts aren't the be all and end all. There's a really strong place for introverts. And I can guarantee you that some of the people that you might see as being the most confident, the most outgoing, the most positive, the most upbeat, chances are they could be an introvert. So that's one thing. And I know I have really talked to this from an introvert's perspective, because obviously that's the only perspective that I have. However, it's something that I think is really, when I talk about the kind of the path to self-knowledge, I think understanding which end of the spectrum, the intro or outro vert spectrum, intro or extrovert spectrum you sit on, I think is really, really helpful. One thing I did just want to share, and it's something I only learned last night and I found it fascinating. I was doing an online program with Mel Robbins, who's an incredible speaker, author, trainer, all of the great things. And she quoted University of Cambridge professor, and he had done some research. Now, I haven't personally looked into this, so I'm going by her word in this, but I trust her because she's amazing. And he found that people can actually push themselves into the other end of the spectrum. So for example, if you're an introvert, you can push yourself to being an extrovert and vice versa, if whatever it is that you want to engage in is important enough to you. And he actually talked about, from his own personal experience, he's quite a high introvert, like his introvert index is pretty high. And he found that when he goes and lectures, so he's standing doing, you know, lectures with university students for potentially days on end, he finds that absolutely exhausting. But what keeps him going through that is that he is so passionate about the subject matter that he's sharing with his students that he wants to keep going and he can push through. That said, he will need a pretty significant restorative niche, an extended restorative niche at the end of that. So just remember that as well. If there's something, for example, if you're an extrovert and you want to write a book and you know that that's going to require extended periods of time all on your own, just remember that that is very achievable because, first of all, you have the self-knowledge and you know what you need to do in order to keep your energy going, i.e. make sure that there's time with other people built into your writing schedule. But secondly, that you are capable of being in that space alone because the book that you want to write is important enough to you. So that's quite a specific example, but I did just want to round out that particular point with that. So first tool that we can access when it comes to improving our own self-knowledge is to understand whether we're an introvert or an extrovert, or indeed an ambivert, sitting somewhere between the two. Now, the second tool that I want to share with you is StrengthsFinder. So this is something that I discovered. Wade actually read the book years ago, probably like 9 years ago. And what would happen then is you would buy the book, and I'm sure you can still buy the book. It's Clifton StrengthsFinder. And you would buy the book and it was all about the strengths and the 37 different strengths that this organization has identified. So they've essentially created this spectrum of 37 strengths and they have, and so, you know, I'll get into the testing in a second. So there's 37 strengths. You read the book about the 37 strengths. And then back then, this is like 10 years ago, you would get a code that you would then go online and redeem your code and you could do the test online and find out which strengths, what your top strengths were. So I did it years ago. I found it absolutely fascinating back then 10 years ago. And then it's a tool that I started to use in my hiring process in my first business, the Remarkables Group. So what I would do is, and again, this is when us understanding ourselves is so valuable, because then we can go and kind of put ourselves, almost like plot ourselves against the other people in our life. So I knew, obviously starting that business, what my five greatest strengths were. And then as I started to hire people, obviously I wanted some people to have similar strengths to me, particularly given that our role was, they needed to do some of the things that I needed to do, i.e. like relationship, like investing in relationships and attention to detail and project management and all of that kind of thing. However, I also wanted to hire people who had different strengths to me because I felt like the sum of the parts is stronger than, because you're not weighted too heavily in the direction of any particular strengths. You've actually got more of a broad spectrum. And I believe that that then future proofs you, because you're more rounded. It's almost like a human being, you know, you're more rounded as a team when you've got different strengths at play in there. So that's the StrengthsFinder that I discovered. So I'll give you an example. I'll actually just pull it up here because I pulled up, I want to redo it because I did it again about 5 years ago when I was in the midst of my second business or my first business, and I haven't actually done it for quite a while. So I actually thought as I was preparing this episode, I would love to go and do it again. So I'll give you an example. One of my strengths is the focus strength, which may not surprise you. So I've got a little summary of the strengths here. People exceptionally talented in the focus theme can take a direction, follow through, and make the corrections necessary to stay on track. They prioritize, then act. Another one of mine is futuristic. So people exceptionally talented in the futuristic theme are inspired by the future and what could be. They energize others with their visions of the future. So that's another one of mine. Now there's another one of mine. Yeah, this one. Activator. People exceptionally talented in the activator theme can make things happen by turning thoughts into action. They are often impatient. Hands up, that is me. So, and the reason, and that's the very, very top line, is you get a full one-page download, a one-page kind of, I think it's actually 2 pages brief on the individual strengths when you do the test. But what really stuck out for me, the activator one, is it's about joining dots. So an activator, so for me and for any of you listening who might have the activator strength as one of your top five strengths, what it means is that we can see an idea. We might read an idea in a book about parenting, and then we might be in a client meeting 2 years later, and the idea that we read about in that book about parenting pops into our head, almost like a little bubble just pops into our head, and we can join dots and we can apply the principle from that parenting book 2 years ago to the situation that we find ourselves in right then and there, as we're in this meeting. So that's an example of three of my strengths. As I said, I do want to redo it because they did shift slightly 10 years ago up to 5 years ago. So I'm really curious to know which ones still hold true right now. And then, so how I've used this test, I want to touch on this. So as I said, I've used it in my hiring. So I would do a first interview with someone. I would then do a second interview with someone. And then I would get them to do DISC, which I'll talk about as the third point in this episode. And I would get them to do StrengthsFinder. And the reason I loved the StrengthsFinder is that it essentially gave me like a manual to that person. And when I got to that profiling stage of the hiring process, it may be that I was going to hire them anyway. But for me, it's almost, as I said, it gives me a user manual. If I understand their five strengths as their leader and their manager, I can then help them to leverage those strengths in the workplace. And I think it's very important to remember, and this is could be a whole other episode / season. I think it's very important that when we are working with our team members and, you know, our partners and our kids and other relationships in our lives, that we do as much as possible focus on working to helping people amplify their strengths rather than working on their weaknesses. So, and that's another reason that I do love having StrengthsFinder, because I can see, okay, well, I know that I'm weak in this particular area. For example, empathy is one that I would be weaker in. And so I know that if I hire some people into my team that are strong in that strength, then it means that I can actually focus on just running with my strengths. And I know that there's other people who are going to round out my weaknesses or the areas that I'm not so strong in. So I used to do it as that profiling step. And the other way that I used it as well, the very first time that I introduced the team to StrengthsFinder, I think there was about 8 people in the team at the RemarkUps group at the time. And I took us away on our first team retreat. So we went away for 3 nights to the Hunter Valley. And one of the first sessions that we did was around StrengthsFinder. So what I actually got people to do, I got them. So with StrengthsFinder, if you're getting your team to do it, so you can go in and just buy the test for yourself. I just rechecked the pricing before I started recording this episode. It's $33 Australian to find out what your 5 top strengths are. And in that, then you get a full download of each individual strength and where you sit against other strengths and weaknesses and so on. Or you can do the full 37 strengths, in which case it will actually prioritize. They will put them in order of priority, what your biggest strengths are, right down to your weakest ones. So I have never done the full test. I've only done the top 5 because that's enough information for me. But you may totally nerd out on this stuff and want to do the full one, in which case I think it's about 80 Australian to do that one, I think. 88, I think it was when I checked it this morning. So yeah, if you're buying it for team members, what you can do is you can go in and you can buy maybe 5 different tests. And then it will give each person a different code and it will send them each emails on the kind of website. We'll do this. And then what happens then is once everyone underneath your account completes the test, the StrengthsFinder platform can actually chart your strengths against each other, which is really, really cool. So what I did is I got everyone on the team to do the StrengthsFinder test beforehand. I got them to print out the report and hand it to me. And then I got a big black permanent marker and I scribbled out everyone's names on their reports. And then I shuffled them up. And then at the first session on our retreat, everyone got someone else's report to present. So for example, Eddie presented Sarah's report and he talked through Sarah's top 5 strengths. And what we then needed to do was guess which person it was in the team. So it was so much fun. And interestingly, our intern at the time, she's an amazing intern called Robin at the time. She had very, very similar strengths to me. And people guessed that she was me or Sarah, like a leader in the team, which is really, really cool. So it just goes to show that, I guess it shows 2 things. Is one, that it's not necessarily that your strengths just come to, you know, if you're kind of in a leadership role or you're in a creative role, it's not that those strengths necessarily just come to you once you're in that role. They are built into you and they're innate in you. The other thing I do want to touch on is if you find that you're, so for example, maybe you're a leader and you want to grow the team that you're leading to. Maybe you want to lead 100 people, or maybe you're already leading 100 people or 200 people, and your strengths aren't necessarily kind of inverted commas the traditional leadership strengths. It's really important to remember that there's all kinds of flavors required for every single task that would be required of us out in the world. So it's not to say that if you're not super confident that you can't be a great leader. You have vulnerability and leading from a place of, look, guys, I have full faith that this is what we should do. But I have confidence wobbles sometimes too, then that's equally powerful. So I do just want to touch on that. If you do the StrengthsFinder and you go, oh, but this isn't quite matching up with where I want to go in my life, just remember that there's 70 million different ways to get to where you want to go in your life. And this is about getting the self-knowledge so that you can really, as I said, amplify your strengths rather than trying to focus on your weaknesses. Because I think that's how we are schooled and potentially how we're brought up in our families as well. It's like all the things that aren't so good with us, it's okay, well, let's make them better rather than focusing all the stuff that's great with us and let's really send them to the moon and back. So I wanted to touch on that. So with the StrengthsFinder, I don't think it's just necessarily something that you should do if you're a professional or you've got your own business. I think everyone should do StrengthsFinder because these strengths don't just show up in our work. They show up in every single area of our lives. And also, if we think about in our relationships, I understand, I know what Wade's strengths are. Actually, I might get him to do it again with me. So it just means that we can support each other. We can understand each other. We can work to each other's strengths. You know, one of mine, as I just touched on, is that I make shit happen and I'm, you know, very organized. And Wade, I think we've got three, when we first did it together, I think we've got two strengths in common. The other three are totally different. So, you know, Wade isn't as detail orientated as me. And in which case, well, it makes sense for me to own more of that side of things in our relationship and for him to take the stuff that I'm not so good at on instead of me trying to, as I said, work on my weaknesses all of the time. So StrengthsFinder, you can find it. I'll pop a link in the show notes. It's the, if you want to check out the website, it's Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P. And the product you're looking for, you go to assessments. You go to the store, you go to assessments, and you're looking for the Clifton StrengthsFinder. As I said, for me, the top five strengths is plenty of info. For you, you may want to dive deeper and do the full 37, totally your call. Okay, so that's the second tool to self-knowledge is the StrengthsFinder test. The third one is DISC behavior profiling. So if you have followed me for any length of time, you will probably have heard me talk about DISC at one point or another. I wrote about it quite extensively in Remarkability, which is my first book. And I actually wrote about it in the context of leadership and the leadership chapter, because I believe, and again, this kind of goes back to the whole reason that I wanted to spend a week on this topic this week, is if we know ourselves, we can lead ourselves better, which means we can then lead others better. So with DISC behavior profiling, I first learned it. It was in one of the very first workshops that I did when I went through the Entourage program when I just started my first business. So I'm talking 8 years ago now. My God, 8 years. That's crazy. And in it, Peter Lakovich, who's the head of education, I think who still is head of education at the Entourage, took us through DISC behavior profiling. Now, when we did it and he trained it, it was more from a sales perspective about how to be strong salespeople, essentially, and to take on certain elements of different DISC behavior profiles in order to be successful salespeople. I took that and I ran with it through every single area of my life. If you listen to the episode with Jenny, my sister, in the Chicken Soup Conversation season, we talked about the fact that I did DISC behavior profile testing on my mom, my sister, and my dad. And for the first time, our family of four, made sense to me. For the first time ever, at the age of what? I was probably like 34 when I did that test with them. And it has helped myself and Wade massively in our relationship as well. Like I don't even have the time in this episode to tell you how much it's helped us. And so much so that when we did our couples goal program together earlier on this year, we actually did a whole bonus module on DISC behavior profiling for couples. That's how powerful we found it to be. So I could probably, and actually I may do this in a future season, do a full episode on DISC behavior profile. What I actually do is guide you guys through the test as well. That would be cool. So to give you the kind of shortened version, so DISC behavior profiling comes from the whole idea of the golden rule that we are kind of brought up to understand is do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. So we treat other people in the way that we would like to be treated ourselves. However, DISC upgrades that somewhat and talks about do unto others as they would have done to themselves. So rather than interacting with people in the way that we want to be interacted in, we interact with them in a way that their specific DISC behavior profile wants us to interact with them. And it just means then that I almost see it like if you've got AM, you've got your radio in the car, okay? And you've got AM, you've got the AM frequency and you've got the FM frequency. What can happen is if you're a D in DISC behavior profiling and you're operating as a D and you're engaging with someone who's an S in terms of DISC behavior profiling, you're on AM and they're on FM and it is so difficult. It just makes it so much more difficult to interact with people if you don't understand what they are and you don't have the self-awareness and the self-practice to try and modify your behavior somewhat to try and meet them more on their level. So it's not to say that we're inauthentic or we are trying to be something we're not, or we're being manipulative in any way. It's more about what are the kind of subtle nuances, the subtle changes that we can make to our own behavior so that we can connect with others in a more effective way. And just essentially, I almost see it like it just lubricates our social interactions and our relationships, whether they're professional relationships or personal relationships, in a massive way. So obviously this starts, and this is why I want to include it in this episode, is DISC behavior profiling and being able to employ it and utilize it in our lives starts with us first understanding what DISC behavior profile we are ourselves. So you can be a D, an I, an S, or a C. And just to add a slight level of complexity to it, you will generally have a secondary one as well. So you'll be primarily one of the four, and then you will have a secondary one, which is going to be another one of the four. So to give you an idea, I'm an I. My primary one is I in terms of DISC, but my secondary is D. And what will happen then is when I need to kind of tap into my D more, I can do that, obviously, because I've got the level of mastery now because I've been practicing this shit for 8 years. But I can dial more into my D. The other thing that I will often find with people is that they're primarily in their primary DISC behavior profile. But when they are stressed, they will drop more into their secondary one. It's almost like their stress response, if that makes sense. So, and you can use that positively or you can use that negatively, of course. So with Ds, very, very top line, Ds are very direct and they're very task focused. My husband, Wade, is a very, very, very high D. In Remarkability, what I try to do was give characters to each of the behavior profiles to kind of help bring them to life for my readers. So if you think about a D, you're thinking about an army drill sergeant. I'll leave it at that. Then if we think about eyes, eyes are very people focused and they're also very fast. So Ds are fast and eyes are fast. Eyes are very fast. So I's and D's will speak very quickly, they'll think very quickly, they'll act very quickly. So I's are very fast, but when I talk about D's, they're very task focused. I's are very people focused. So they're all about the people. And when I talked about, what did I call them? In Remarkability, the I is the pop star. So that's what the eyes are all about. It's all about, look at me, I'm amazing. The other way actually you can think about this, and this is how Wade's team talk about it, they think about it in terms of birds. So for Wade's team, they talk about a D is an eagle and an I is the peacock. So we all know what peacocks do, strut around and look fabulous. So S's are slower and they're people focused. So if we think about an S and how I described it in Remarkability, they are the librarian. So they're quiet, they're very people focused, they're looking after everyone in the library. For Wade's team, they think about the S as a dove. So S's are, they're very loyal, they're very conscientious, and they're all about the people. The biggest thing an S wants is harmony with the people around them. And then if you think about a C, so a C is very task focused, and they operate on a slightly slower pace. So a C is almost like a D that moves slower, slightly slower. So with a C, the way I kind of personify a C is an accountant. So they're very process orientated. They've got their numbers, they've got their drills, and they're very system orientated as well. In Wade's team, they talk about a C as an owl. So they're, in the quickest nutshell imaginable, they're the four behavior profiles in a nutshell. When I found, I'll just talk about the example of myself and Wade just to give you a bit more illustration to how we can then interact with other behavior profiles. Because I'm an I, I'm very, very people focused. I think quickly and I talk very quickly. However, I want to tell the story. So if I'm, give you an example, myself and Wade are debriefing at the end of our days. I'm all about the stories. There's hand gestures, there's feelings, there's 17 different tangents thrown in on the journey in this conversation. And Wade, I will see him and he starts to twitch. He will either start to tap his hands, his fingers on the table, he'll twitch his leg, he'll start to kind of look around like he's just very distracted. And I know what's happening is because he's a D and Ds are interested in the task at hand and they're very direct, he just wants to know what's the point of the story. He's like, what's the fucking point of the story? And he's not saying that, but that's on kind of some kind of DISC subconscious level, that's what he's thinking. And then I get upset because I'm like, you're not listening to my story. And if he's not listening to my story, he's not giving me the attention that I absolutely crave to their core. And then I get upset. He's like, I just want to know the point of the story. And then it just goes from there. So very, very, very simple example. And another example I will give you is back when I was running my first business, The Remarkables Group, it was a talent agency for social influencers. So we represented this stable of incredible talent, so bloggers, Instagrammers, YouTubers, and so on. And we had incredibly close relationships with our talent because it was a relative, I mean, I think at the most we had 26 influencers that we represented. And there was one particular influencer who it had taken me like 6 months to get her on board in the first place. And we had built up a really great relationship, a lot of trust. We had worked together for maybe by the time I'm kind of at this point and I'm learning DISC and teaching her DISC, and because we did it with our bloggers as well. We did it with our key clients as well. Maybe we've been working together 3 years. And I did DISC behavior profiling. We took our bloggers away on an annual retreat to Queensland. And I did DISC behavior profiling with the group. So we got them all to the questionnaires. We told them what they were. I gave them the full training on DISC. And this influencer came back as being a high C. So remember, owl, accountant, very cautious, system, process orientated. And all of a sudden, our whole relationship made sense, because something that I found really challenging was that when I would go to her with a new job and say, hey, I've got this amazing job, you know, it's working with this brand, we would need you to create this kind of content, it's for X amount of money, and they're so excited to work with you, you know, I, peacock, peacock, peacock. And she would come back saying, thanks, Lorraine, and ask me a million questions. Now, with eyes, a trademark of eyes is that they're very trusting. So eyes are very, very optimistic. They're very glass half full. They want to trust people. So when I am on the receiving end of a lot of questions from someone that I thought trusted me, I find that really personally very hurtful. So when I did the DISC behavior profiling with this particular influencer and I realized that she was a C, it was just like the biggest breath of relief I can explain, I can share with you. It was like, she does trust me. She's just a C, and that's why she has all these questions. And I said it to her in the session. I was like, oh my God, I get so upset when you ask me all these questions when I'm so excited about a campaign for you. But the reason is that you're a C. And she was like, oh my God. And she actually got a bit teary. She said, Lorraine, of course I trust you. You're, you know, amazing. I love our relationship. I love what we create together. Of course I trust you. I just need to ask you all these questions before I commit. And it was just the most special, beautiful moment of like a relationship moving forward and people really understanding each other. And I never, ever once felt that from her again. And she never once felt worried about sending me the questions again, because she knew that, well, that's just how I operate. So with DISC behavior profiling, guys, what I will do, I'm going to find so I've actually got my own version that I do. It's a one-page sheet that I actually get mentees and people in my workshops to do live with me, like hard copy, pen and paper. But what I will do is I'll pop into the show notes. I'm just going to have a little look around the interweb after I record this episode and find the best free version, because there's lots of free online versions that you can do. So I'm going to find one that's the closest match as possible to my, because I do think mine's better than the one pager, but obviously it's not possible to. Well, I can send it to you, but I would want to take you through it. So as I said, I might do this as a more detailed episode in future. However, I will pop a link to the best free version that I can find into the show notes, so you can actually do the DISC test yourself. You can swat up online. There's lots of information about DISC online. And if you do have my book, Remarkability, or you want to get your hands on it, it's on Kindle. You can also get a hard copy on my website or Booktopia and all of the usual suspects as well. I do go into it. It's kind of more in my language, how I would train someone on DISC. It's in that book as well. But as I said, let me know if you would like me to do a more detailed episode on DISC, because I do think it's incredibly powerful. And it's, yeah, is the reason that it's very firmly parked in this life lesson season, because it's one of the best things that I've ever learned. And obviously StrengthsFinder and Introvert and Extrovert as well. So guys, that is my episode on knowing yourself. I really hope that you've got some ideas on this. And please do remember that this is, it's a journey. Yeah, I'm not sitting here as someone going, I am fully enlightened and fully self-aware. And, you know, God, I'm still learning so much stuff about myself. And I hope I do till the day I die. So remember, this is a practice. It's a journey. The tools that I've shared with you in here are, I guess, what I would see is the head starts that I've experienced in my life that have really helped me kind of fast track that self-knowledge. And also they're tools that I can pass on to the people I care about in my life and business as well. So please remember that this is a journey. You're not expected to know yourself inside out tomorrow or next week or even if ever. And just remember with these, what I would do if I was you, if there's one of these particular tools that has really kind of lit you up and sparked some interest, I would go and focus on that one first and then focus on the others. I would probably advise you not to do all three at the same time, because it might just be too much information. So instead, almost like pick yourself a little sequence, like, do you want to dive into DISC first? Do you want to do StrengthsFinder? Do you want to you know, explore introvert, extrovert some more. Pick one of them and focus on one at a time, because there's such thing as too much self-knowledge at once as well. And I don't want you to get more confused or to get too conflicted. I think with these things, it's good to go through the process of each individual one. Let it sit with you. Observe it in your life. Maybe talk to the people you care about. Get them to do some tests as well. Obviously, if they're interested, don't force them. And also just have fun with it. Like, this is fun. It's one of the most, I think probably the most exciting learning adventure you can go on, is how to learn more about yourself and therefore how you can be more productive, achieve your goals, have more deep and quality relationships, and also just get yourself out of slumps quicker. If you know what gets you energy, if you know what your greatest strengths are, if you know what DISC behavior profile you are, it just means you can get yourself out of slump, whether that slump is someone just said something that you interpret as being really shitty, or that slump is you're just feeling very, very stuck in life overall and want to get out of there. These are the tools that we start to lean on more and more. We don't just use these tools as, yay, everything's amazing. They're also the tools that we use on the not so great days and weeks and months and potentially even years to get us out of those funks as well. So I will leave you with that. I will pop some notes in the show notes so you've got access to them. I would love to hear your thoughts and feedback. If you do DISC behavior profiling, tell me what you are. Tell me what your partner is, your mom is, your dad is, your friend. And also StrengthsFinder. Jump in there and have a go at that when you're ready. And always keen to hear your feedback on these episodes as well. So thank you so much for joining me in our Know Yourself episode. And I'm looking forward to next week with you again.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. I hope you got some gems out of this week's episode. I did want to say before I sign off that Create Academy officially closes today. So term starts today. However, as always, I keep space for the week after a program closes for any last minute joiners, because there are always quite a few. If you're keen to live a more creative life, I've left the link live on my website. Just jump to lorrainemurphy.com.au and you'll see the link for Create Academy there at the top. So if you are listening to this, it is still open. So you're listening to this on the 12th of June. It's still open for another week. So around the 19th of June, you probably missed the boat, but I'm sure it'll be happening again at some point later on this year. So thank you so much again for joining this week's episode. And I'm wishing you lots of luck in your self-knowledge adventures this week and beyond.
Thank you for being part of this week's episode. It was remarkable to have you. I am always keen to hear your thoughts, questions, ideas, and suggestions for future topics for the podcast. So please get in touch on Instagram. My handle is @LorraineRemarks and through my website, lorrainemurphy.com.au. If you're enjoying what I'm putting out here, please do rate, review, or subscribe to the podcast so more people can find out about it and we can build this special community. Or even better, do all three. Chat to you next week.